Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about what a life looks like that's been set free by the power of Christ. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3, for a message called Freed from the Dominion of Sin, as we go back to basics.
So in this sixth chapter, Paul is telling the people of God that because of our union with Christ, sin's reign over us has ended. He speaks of us as having been set free from bondage or slavery to sin. It's so vitally important that we understand just exactly what that means. You see, sometimes it seems that we forget that Jesus didn't come to merely forgive our sins and make sure we go to heaven. He did do that, of course, but he also came to set us free from sin's dominion over our lives so we can live a blessed life and a fruitful life. But in order to really get hold of that and experience that, there are certain things that we need to understand. And of course, those things are found for us in the scriptures, and particularly in portions of scripture like the one that we're looking at today. So in order to really get hold of what it means that we've been set free from sin in Christ, we need to examine in more detail three things. Number one, the nature of sin. Secondly, and briefly, the work of Christ. And then thirdly, how it is that we can obtain the victory over the reign of sin in our lives. So, first of all, sin's nature. When we talk about sin, we commonly hear, for example, a definition of sin. Oh, well, sin is to miss the mark. Well, that is a definition. It's probably more accurate to say sins, plural, would be defined as missing the mark. Sin singular is more of a reference to what's happened to us and what is now part of our constitution, what is part of our nature. We miss the mark, we commit sins because we are sinners, because we have this nature that is twisted and tainted because of sin. But when it comes to sin, quite often, we don't realize the seriousness of it. Sometimes we don't really understand the nature of it. But there are things that we must understand. The first is this: sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. The Bible warns us not to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What is that talking about? It's talking about the fact that sin, it tricks us. It doesn't appear what it really is. You know, the certain aspects of sin appear to be pleasurable, don't they? And of course, there is a temporary element of pleasure to sin. Certain aspects of sin seem to be harmless. People often say, well, hey, this isn't hurting anybody. Why should I be concerned about this kind of a behavior? But you see, that's the deceptive aspect of sin. The Bible is very clear that sin has that deceptive aspect. Paul, on numerous occasions in writing his epistles, he would say to the people, do not be deceived in regard to sin. Don't be deceived, because there's a proclivity on our part. We We have that tendency to be deceived by sin. Paul says to the Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For if a person sows to the flesh, which he's talking about a life of active sin, a person who sows to the flesh is of the flesh going to reap corruption. So we need to realize that. We need to understand that. Someone put it this way. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you intended to pay. That is absolutely the truth. That's what sin is really like. It's deceitful. Secondly, sin is destructive. Sin is destructive. There's nothing good ever comes out of sin. There's no such thing as good sin. No such thing. Sin is destructive. Its very nature is destructive. We're told in James that sin ultimately produces death. Sin is the opposite of all that is good, beautiful, wholesome, pure, innocent, beneficial, edifying. It's the opposite of that. We need to realize that. We need to understand that. When we're looking at sin and we're maybe contemplating whether we should go down that path of sin or not, let's not forget the destructive nature of sin. All the ugliness and misery in the world and in the lives of individual people is the fruit of sin. Why is the world in the state that it's in? Because of sin. Why are people so messed up? Why are their lives devastated? Sin is at the root of all of this. We must understand that. Sin is destructive. Thirdly, sin is tyrannical. Sin enslaves its victims. And sin is a harsh taskmaster. The picture that we have back in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, you remember there where we find the children of Israel. They're brought into, it says, hard bondage. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they oppressed the Israelites and they made them serve with rigor, it says. And they built them cities and so forth. You know, that's meant to give us a picture of what sin is like. It's hard bondage. It's rigor. It brings us under its oppressive power. Paul, in this seventh chapter of Romans, in the 15th verse, he describes this enslavement that sin brings us into. He says, for what I will to do, that I do not do. But what I hate, that I do. And we find that this is indeed the case. So many of the things that are passed off in society today as mere addictions are in actuality cases of intense bondage to sin. Now, we have people today, it's just like an addicted culture, isn't it? Everybody's kind of addicted to something, and we've got all kinds of therapies and different centers for rehabilitation and recovery and so forth. All of these things trying to deal with what we call addictions. But really, addictions are just intense cases of bondage to sin. Drug and alcohol addiction, addiction to various sexual perversities. People are addicted to stealing, lying, raging, gambling, things like this. Now, those who are severely addicted or truly addicted, the reality is not that this is, you know, a chemical issue or something like that, although there could be chemical factors because it's a proven fact that certain behaviors alter your brain chemistry. Now, oftentimes the thought was, well, their brain chemistry is messed up, that's why they're behaving this way. But they're beginning to realize that, well, actually the behavior is what is sometimes messing up the brain chemistry. So whatever the opinion of the experts is as to what's going on in the life of a person that is addicted, the Bible tells us that the real issue is sin. There are what you might call life-dominating sins. People out there whose lives are just completely under the tyranny of sin. They don't even want to do what they're doing, but they don't seem to be able to help it. And some people say, well, just stop doing it. Well, you know, for some, that is no longer possible apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that can set a person free from that kind of bondage to sin. And that, of course, is the message of the gospel. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we need to understand the nature of sin. Now, when we look at sin for what it is, we see that it's deceitful, we see that it's destructive, we see that it's tyrannical. You can understand why God sent Jesus to liberate us from sin. Because God desires that we have a good life. He desires that we have a blessed life. He desires that we have a wholesome life, a productive life. And sin is against all of that. So this brings us to the second point. Jesus died to sin once and for all on our behalf. Now, this is important that we understand what happened on the cross. And here in verses 3 through 5, let me read it to you again. This is what it says. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, this is something that we need to know. And we're going to come to another point on this in a moment, but notice what Paul says in verse 3. He says, or do you not know? The way to victory over sin is there are things that we must know. And now here Paul tells us that we need to know that Jesus died to sin once and for all, and he did so on our behalf. And so what that means is simply this. Since we are one with Christ, everything that happened to him literally happened to us, not only figuratively, but even more than figuratively, it happened to us spiritually. He died and was buried. We died with Christ and we were buried. He was raised from death, and so we have been raised to walk in the newness of life. See, we need to know that. When Jesus died on that cross, we died with him. And when Jesus went into that tomb, we went into the tomb with him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, we who trusted him, we were raised from the dead as well to now walk in the newness of the Spirit. And because that is the case, Paul then goes on to say in verse 12, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So you see, Jesus came to, again, set us free from the power of sin. And there isn't any reason why, other than perhaps just, you know, downright rebellion or ignorance, that we should remain in any type of bondage to sin. He tells us, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Here's the question, how? How is it that we can be delivered out from under the reign of sin? Reign, the word is speaking of a dominion. How is it that we can come out from under the dominion of sin? Well, there are things that he goes on to tell us, and it begins in verse 6 again with this idea of knowing. There are certain things we have to know. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. This is what we need to know. We need to know our old man was crucified. What is the old man? What is this reference to the old man. The old man is the person who you previously were before you met Christ. The person who was dead to the life of God, dead to the truth of God, dead to the purposes of God. And being dead to the life of God, the truth of God, and the purposes of God, your life consisted, my life consisted, of obeying the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's who the old person was. That person was crucified. That is the person who has died. And what Paul is telling us, this is something that we have got to know. We've got to know that so that when we have temptation come along, when we have feelings that want to move us in the direction of a certain behavior or desires surge up within us, we need to know, wait a second, that old person, the old me, no. That person was crucified. That person is dead. That person no longer has a place or power here. You see, Paul says in the verse we read, he says, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. Done away with is the translation that we have here, but the Greek word translated here means to render inactive or inoperative, or this is my favorite, to put out of business. The old man has been put out of business. And that's what we need to know. And when the old man attempts to do business again, we just have to remind ourselves, oh, no. The old man has been put out of business. He's been rendered inoperative. Our physical bodies no longer controlled by the sin nature, because the one through whom sin was able to rule over me, the old man, is dead. Therefore, I am free now from the reign of sin. So we need to know that, Paul says. You see, the Christian faith is based on knowing things. That's why we put such an emphasis on teaching the Bible and studying the Bible and you personally meditating on the scriptures, because it's as we know these things. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So we need to know these things. What? We need to know that the old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be put out of business. Secondly, verse 11 tells us that we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, this word reckon, it means to account it to be so. So what we're looking at here practically is we are by faith reckoning ourselves to be dead. So when the temptation comes along from the outside, or when the desires well up from within, we account it to be so that we are dead to these things. It's an act of faith. This is where faith comes in. By faith, I say, no, this is no longer who I am. This is who I used to be, but I'm no longer this person today. This no longer has control over me. This no longer has any right to have dominion over my life. That's what he's talking about, that we are to consider it to be the case that we are dead to sin and alive to God. And Paul is not here teaching positive thinking. He's not saying just visualize yourself dead to sin and alive to God. He's saying, no, this is the reality. This is what you are. He's saying these are the facts. Now act upon them. So you see, sometimes people get the mistaken idea that I don't do anything as, you know, I'm waiting. I've had lots of people say to me over the years, I'm waiting for the Lord to take this sin out of my life. Well, look, wait no longer. It's time right now. He wants to deal with it. There are certain things that we have to do now. We have to know this. We have to account it to be the case. And now, thirdly, here's what we do practically. We present. Look at verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So this is how it works. I know certain things. I consider them to be spiritual facts by faith. And then I take the action and my members, I present them as instruments, not of unrighteousness. Our physical bodies as well as our mental powers, that's what Paul's talking about when he's referring to our members. And what he's saying is this, I must not allow my strength, my energy, my appetites, my speech, my mind, my imagination, my emotions to be used in the service of sin. I used to do that. We all used to do that. That's who we were. That's what the old man did. But no longer is that the case. That old man was crucified. I need to account that to be a fact. And by faith, I refuse now to present my members as instruments of unrighteousness, but rather I present myself to God and my members as instruments of righteousness in his hand. And so now what I'm doing is I am presenting my strength, my energy, my speech, my mind, my imagination, my emotion. These are all now given over to God as instruments of righteousness. The word instrument here is an interesting word in the Greek. The word speaks of a tool or a weapon. And I think that's very significant. Because this is what it comes down to. If I'm living according to the old life, then I become a tool or a weapon for unrighteousness. But if I know that the old man is dead and I consider that to be a fact and I'm presenting myself to God, I become a tool or a weapon in the hand of God for righteousness. That's what I want to be. That's what we want to be. That's what God calls us to be. And so, in closing today, here's where everything comes together. We have to remember this. We are not under law, but under grace. That's how Paul ends this whole portion right here. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You see, if you're a believer and sin still has dominion over you, like I said, it's either because you're just in outright rebellion and the simple solution to that is repentance. But not everybody is struggling or having these kind of bondages out of outright rebellion. Some people are in this state because of ignorance. You just don't know. You don't know the way to victory. And you need to know it and then apply it accordingly. So if you're a believer and sin still has dominion over you, it's perhaps because you're trying to overcome sin through law, through works. But you see, the problem is there's no power there. That's Paul's whole point here.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broders. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Freed from the Dominion of Sin, and the resource number is BBT0003. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.